You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whittaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whittaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whittaker.
Hello and welcome to the Build and Bloom podcast. This is the Monday Motivation Monday Morning Show mini series. And we are going to be talking about Instagram's latest feature, Instagram Reels. Now, I've seen a lot of conversation specifically from millennials about Instagram Reels and how they hate it. I haven't really seen any positive conversation outside of probably Natalie Frank, who's the founder of Honeybook and Rising Tide Society. She's like the one positive post that I've seen on it. And it blows my mind because this is such a powerful feature. It's a free opportunity, and it's also easy to blow these things up. So in today's episode, we are going to be talking about Instagram Reels, and as I do more testing and as the week goes on, I will definitely consider doing a longer episode on how exactly to utilize them. But this is your action point for the week. Your action step for the week is to make an Instagram Reel. So before we get into that, and I also I have a few personal questions that I'm going to be answering at the end of the podcast so that you can get to know me better as Jessica and not just as a photographer. So before we get into it, I do want to thank myself for sponsoring my podcast. This episode is brought to you by my online photography business workshops. It's a 6.5 hour long masterclass where I teach you from A to Z how to start and scale a photography business in your own backyard. You are going to walk away from this class where you're able to return to the class because you have lifetime access, but you're going to walk away with full clarity, confidence, and also feeling fully comfortable behind the camera so that your clients can feel comfortable in front of it. And I teach from the perspective of practicality and realistic. There's lots of photography workshops out there that treat the workshop and treat you as if you have all the time in the world to dedicate to your photography business. And I wasn't until 2017 that I was doing photography full time. So I teach from the perspective of, I know you have 3, 4, 5, 6,000 more things going on in your life outside of photography. Chances are you might be doing photography still part time, wanting to grow into full time. So how can we scale your business, save you time behind the computer so that you can put that time back into your business or other areas of your life? You're going to learn pricing. You're going to learn posing. You're going to learn little tips about posing that other educators might not even teach on or know about, but how to make the most flattering images possible. Have you ever had a client who's told you, oh, I love the photos, but I just hate how I look? Chances are because you made a few mistakes with posing where they actually don't look like the photographs. That's why they're upset. We're also going to be talking about client communication and how to set clear expectations and boundaries with clients and also get you booked so much faster. Everything is covered. There's 10 lessons in my online photography business workshop. You can enroll in the workshop for one payment of $4.99 or three payments of $175. For more information on how to enroll, you can go to jessicawhittaker.co/workshop. Let's get into the show. Instagram Reels. This is something that I'm really, really stoked on because I actually didn't get into the TikTok train until Instagram Reels rolled out. And I believe they rolled out, on Thursday, Friday? Oh, also, by the way, for those who are just listening to the mini series for the first time, the Monday Motivation Show is very casual. I want to feel like you're having coffee with me, and so there's not much editing that goes into this. So it's gonna be a little bit more, you know, chatty as we roll through the lesson and the talk. So I was on TikTok. I was scrolling through, and I was definitely one of those people where it's like, hey, have you seen Addison Rae's new dance, and then my For You page is like a video of Shrek like doing a weird candle lighting ceremony. So I love TikTok because the algorithm is so specific. I think it's great. Now, when Instagram Reels rolled out, I was so stoked. I have tons of footage on my camera roll that lives on my phone and, you know, on my photo app and everything, but I have so much footage that I could totally make into little TikTok videos. I just never really found the appeal to do it. Like, I know that being on TikTok can really help your business. I get all of that. And if I still did social media consulting, I could easily strategize for you. But for me, I'm like, look, I need to focus my time into YouTube right now. And that's honestly the platform I've been really, really focusing on. And it also is my largest platform, so it just makes sense. But once Instagram Reels came out and I found out that the limit was 15 seconds, I got really stoked. So TikTok goes up to 60 seconds, so you have a lot of freedom. But with the Instagram Reels, I felt like I had a bit more of this breathing room to make really, obviously really short videos. Duh, it's 15 seconds versus 1 minute. But it made me think of so many different ideas that I already had in my camera roll. So I would do, I have like slow motion video of some wild snap peas up at the Griffin Observatory in Los Angeles at Golden Hour, and I like put that to music, and like so cute. I have lots of cute little videos like that that instantly, like within a day, had over 10,000 views. And so I also started to do, I did two videos where I had a behind the scenes Instagram story on my phone from my last photo shoot before the pandemic happened. So back in probably February, end of January. And I just put that 10-second clip from the story and then 5 seconds worth of the photo. So I've been experimenting around with different kinds of videos. I did some from my Europe trip in October. So I just like broke up a ton where it's like, what's better than Paris in the rain? No, ew, that sounds like so cringe. It's something that'd be like at, you know, like on a wood block that, you know, your mom might hang in the kitchen. Like, ugh. So I would say like Paris in October, and then just had a few little things, or let me give you a better example. I did one from Lake Como, and I said, the best time to visit Lake Como. Reason being, Lake Como is because Lake Como is one of the most, Lake Como is in Italy. It's one of the most popular wedding destinations in Europe, at least in the current, like in 2019, 2020. And so I was like, we all know that Lake Como is a great time for, like, great place for wedding photography, but when's the best place to go, like, as a tourist? And I wrote, like, you know, October and three reasons why. Super simple, and I just did all of this in the app called InShot. If you are somebody, maybe you're a millennial listening, and you're like, no, I'm too old for this, listen to me, listen, I'm here to help you. Gen Z is on its way, so I want to help you out. I think the biggest struggle for people who are saying they hate Instagram Reels, oh, one more thing to do. First off, you just need to either not do it at all and like not talk about it, or do it. Like, stop complaining. This is a free app. It's a free platform. And you're so you are clowning yourself for not taking advantage of these free tools that Instagram is giving you to grow your page and therefore grow your business. So when the complaining comes in, I'm just like, bruh, like, this is not a free subscription service. Like, why? This is exciting. This is amazing. So the first thing, if you are like that and you're saying, oh, Instagram Reels, one more thing to do, I encourage you to really try to change your perspective and your outlook instead of being like, one more thing to put on the old to-do list. Bruh, it takes like what? It's a 15 second video. It shouldn't take you an hour to think of a Instagram Reel. Now, of course, you could totally create them. You can also use your previous TikToks. But if you're starting from scratch, like I am, because remember, I didn't do any TikTok videos until I started doing the Instagram Reels. So I would just upload them on both platforms. Then listen up, okay? It's exciting. It's a new opportunity to grow. And these things are blowing up. I've always said this since like 1922, I've been saying this. Whenever Instagram rolls out a new feature, you need to utilize it to its full extent. When Instagram rolled out polls, when Instagram rolled out filters, when Instagram rolled out the question box, Instagram will prioritize your content, your story, because if you are using those new features, because they want to put them on display to get other people to use the features. Hello, Instagram Reels. That's why they're blowing up, you guys. So my biggest action point, don't even wait till Wednesday. Do this tonight. go through your camera roll and pick a behind the scenes iPhone vertical shot that, you know, you had your fiance take of you and his thumb, their thumb was in it, and you were like, oh, this is trash. I can only use it on stories because it'll disappear. Honestly, no, pop that into InShot. It's an app. And then plug in that behind the scenes footage of you working with the client, try to crop out your fiance's thumb, and then insert some of the photos after that that you took. It's super simple. It shouldn't be this high pressure. This isn't YouTube. This isn't like this big production. I feel like with Instagram, we're so used to being very curated, and I think that Reels, you get a little bit more wiggle room, though I definitely think it's for a different, I do believe that Instagram and TikTok, I know, I don't even believe, are two completely different platforms and used for different things. Also similar to when Instagram rolled out Instagram stories and Snapchat was like in battle with it, I was perfectly cool with it because I know it's two different audiences and it's two different reasons. You know, I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but we could totally do like a longer podcast episode on it. But with Instagram though, even though your feed is curated, maybe it might not be, but typically if it's curated, there doesn't have to be this big pressure. It's still a vertical video taken from your phone and it's expected that it's taken from your phone. With all that being said, I hope that you had a change of heart and stop listening to the negative like voices about it. I think, like I said, all of the people that I followed, and they were all millennials saying this, is that story, like Instagram Reels, this is too much. One more thing, just the complaining needs to stop. It needs to stop. It's exciting. It's free and it's blowing up. So I'm going to talk about a few things that you can create, but if you want me to do a longer podcast episode on Instagram Reels and really like going into the audience, what's really the difference between TikTok and Instagram Reels? Because I believe they're two different audiences. I believe they're two different purposes. People are saying, do you think it's just the new TikTok? No, not at all. We could talk about that another time. So let's get into it. What I want you to do, go through your camera roll, look at if you have any kind of behind the scenes content, whether it's you and like somebody else is shooting it of you and you're in front of the camera with your clients, or you are just doing some kind of pan of the location. You have something from a photo shoot at some point before COVID. Let's use it. Pop that into the app called InShot, InShot. And then you're also going to pop in the photos from that session. Bam, make it 10 seconds, make it 15. All you have, you can do the text in the app. So easy. You're going to say location versus, and then on the slides of the final photos, what are you going to say? Final photo. Easy. Why are we still complaining about this? And you're going to get like 10,000 views within, you know, 4 hours because it's such a new feature. You know, I might be exaggerating and it's going to depend, but the equivalent for you, whether that's more than 10K views you get or less, just take it like if 10K is like, I don't know, the equivalent for you, if that makes sense. Anyways, another thing that you can do, go to some kind of textured surface in your house, or if that's maybe like a blanket or just something, like some kind of cute textured surface that matches with your personal branding. And take a 2 second video of your camera, 2 second video of maybe your SD cards, maybe your lenses, maybe your flash, like 5 items that you use on a photo shoot. And you're gonna do, this is so simple. This is so simple. I just can't, like this, I feel like dumb explaining this. I just don't get why people hate on Instagram Reels. It's so simple. Lay that stuff down, take like 3 second clips of each thing individually, and you're gonna make the title screen be like my gear, my photography gear. Boom, 5D Mark IV body, next Sigma 35 Art, next Canon 50mm 1.8, next, do you see my point? And we talked last week about IGTV, and this is a very similar concept. We talked about last week how in IGTV, even if you're a photographer, most of the people who follow you are photography clients, they might not even be photographers, you might be saying, oh no, they don't care about the gear. Well, no, they don't really necessarily know what you're talking about, nor really care, but what they do care about is that authority you're establishing. They're saying, wow, Jessica has 2 camera lenses, like, okay, professional. She really said she really has two lenses. Like, it doesn't matter if your friend next door has 12 lenses. The clients love it. It's simple. It establishes authority in your industry, and it also gives a little peek into the behind the scenes. So catch up on last week's episode about Instagram TV, especially if you're like a little bit uncomfortable with Instagram Reels, because here's the thing. This is a free platform right now. Instagram TV and Reels are not pay to play. They're not pay to play. The feed is pay to play. Stories aren't really even getting shared that much anymore to your audience. More of your audience sees your stories than your feed. Facebook's pay to play. But do you see my point? You're going to complain about it. If you're still complaining and saying Instagram Reels, oh, this sucks. Well, you're going to complain about it in 4 months once it's pay to play. So utilize it right now and see that this is something really sick and also really easy and low pressure. So another thing that you could easily do is go through your camera roll and look at, maybe you've taken a holiday within the past, you know, year and a half, and you have a video of a really pretty location from your holiday. Bruh, just post that. Honestly, go into Visco, add a cute filter, maybe go into Unfold, add like a cute frame border, upload that to your page, honestly, and say like, loved this lake. I'm just going to say Lake Como, beautiful Lake Como. How pretty would a wedding be here? Kind of try to tie it into your work in some way, but it doesn't have to just be like, this is my SD card. It can be really pretty because as a photographer, and I know there's people who are not photographers listening, so you can kind of copy and paste your profession, interpret this to how it might best suit your job. But photography is about the visuals. And so I do think that locations and beautiful places and even textures that you find interesting and colors, I think that does play into your brand and your eye. I uploaded a video of roses that I got for my birthday, and they were like a really pretty light pink that bled into like this green color. It's kind of like, are these rotting? I don't know, but it's really sick. And I uploaded that and I said like color inspo. So I think that if you just went through your camera roll and stopped rolling your eyes about Instagram Reels, you would actually find you have a lot of this content already, and it's so simple. Just my biggest tip is not to edit within the Instagram Reel app. I would, like all of the features and the text, I would do it all in InShot except for the music. The music is something you're going to want to do on Instagram, but then you don't have to worry about like learning how to place the text, because it's like TikTok. It does take a little minute to get used to, especially if you're not used to editing video. I really, really think that you can utilize it to its best. I just like the excuses. So I am sorry to give you some hard, I'm not sorry, but I know I'm giving you some tough love, but it just always is like, are you serious? People complain about free features on Instagram. I get that the app is frustrating sometimes, especially when posting to like your main feed and not as many people see it anymore. But the thing is, like, when it's free, we can't be picky. The same thing with the podcast and the audio quality right now in my kitchen, right? So change your mindset, go through your camera roll, and this week I want to see you post like 4 reels. I mean, I posted like 4 in one night. That's the great thing about the Instagram algorithm not being chronological. You can post in a row and it's not going to like blow up somebody's feed for 3 scrolls down. They might see one Instagram reel now, they might see the other one in 2 hours, maybe the next one the next day, even if you uploaded all in the same amount of time. I would not space them out because you might be thinking, how many should I upload? Honestly, just make as many as you can. I would do like 4 or 5 and upload them at the same time. Maybe space one out like an hour apart. Probably post it kind of generally during a time that, you know, people are awake. So maybe between like 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. I wouldn't do like 3 a.m. when you get that inspo randomly and like all of a sudden you're ready to write a screenplay. You know how it gets sometimes, or like re-edit 5 weddings. You know what I mean? Do it at a time that's appropriate to post so that more people can really, they can see it. But that's kind of it. It's so simple. So simple, so easy. Let's move into the questions. I have a few questions pulled from the Build and Bloom Photography Facebook group. I made a post saying, ask me questions, It's always kind of awkward when you do that, but it is what it is. And I have some ones that I'm going to answer that are not related to photography or anything with business. I just want to kind of have you get to know me if you're interested, but if not, you're like, this episode was already, like, why would I want to continue listening? I already feel attacked about Instagram Reels. Then we're done with the lesson. Don't worry, but I am going to answer some questions. And like I said, I'm just giving you tough love because I haven't seen anybody else give the tough love for Instagram Reels. I've just seen the complaining and I'm like, y'all, let's get it together. So first question is, what were three things you loved about living in New York and three things you hated / wish that you could have changed? Three things that I loved. I was going to say everything and then like, now I'm going to share three things I hate. The three things that I love are that where I lived was on Riverside Park, on Riverside Drive. So the park was right across the street and I already loved walking in the park from when I used to live in Chelsea. I'd go up to Central Park a lot. And so I love being able to just go outside and walk in the evening or in the morning, like after or before work, for like an hour, and I feel like I'm doing something, but I'm not, it's helping my mental health and getting outside and not spending money. I don't know. I love walking in the park, and I know it's like, well, you live in Seattle, you could go walk in the forest. You see, I could, but I also don't feel like carrying bear spray with me. There's just something about the park in New York City, and it's large enough to go and walk, and it's just so inspiring, and like the Hudson River's right there. It's so beautiful. So that's one of my first favorite things. My second is definitely that I can go anywhere, do anything completely by myself. I could go to concerts by myself, and I did. I could go, window shopping by myself and spend the Saturday afternoon getting coffee, window shopping. I would go to museums by myself, and it would be like 30 minutes away for everything by public transit, and I'm like reading, so it doesn't really feel like it's 30 minutes, feels like it's 10, whereas here in Washington, everything, you know, you do have to kind of make an effort, and I don't go to concerts here by myself because it's just not as safe. In Seattle, it's like they're usually in Belltown, sometimes they're in Capitol Hill, but like at night, parking my car basically like 12 blocks away from the venue at night, it's raining, paying for the parking. Like, I don't not want to sound like I'm complaining because like I'm thankful I live in Seattle and not somewhere else or a smaller city. I do like it here, but just giving you this compare and contrast of like New York was just so easy to do all these things alone. And number three is definitely all my friends there. I really miss them so much. And some people have moved away since like maybe the beginning of the year from New York, so it wouldn't make a difference if I was in the city or if I wasn't, but I do miss my friends there every day because that's where like all of my really good friends live, and I just miss doing things with them and being encouraged by them. But it's just time to make new friends here in Seattle, I guess. So let's talk about three things that I'm going to say wish I could have changed. Because I don't want to say hated because I don't want this to be like negative. I feel like you might already feel like, oh, this podcast is so negative because she's complaining about like the millennials complaining about Instagram Reels. But so three things I wish I could change about New York. And I actually have done a whole video on 10 things to know before moving to New York City. It's on my YouTube channel. But number one is definitely the grocery shopping when you don't have a car and you take a little grocery cart. I highly recommend buying one. Once you get to the city, just have it shipped to your apartment. Don't like buy it and then move it. But a grocery cart, put all your groceries in it, and then it's much easier to maneuver over all the streets to lug it up, you know, 5 floors of stairs. It's a really big ordeal to do grocery shopping or any kind of shopping that's either way. No matter what apartment you live in, you live on a 5-floor walk-up, even if you are on the first floor. Like, it's a 5-floor walk-up, so it's a really big ordeal to, like, lug things back on public transit. So that's just one thing to know, and I think a great way to is to plan ahead and to see what you can get delivered and what you can, even with groceries, and then also to have a cart. And I recommend getting a slightly larger one. They have two sizes, typically the most two common sizes, one that's really small, and then you would think that it's perfect, but it's not. It's too small. And then one that's a little bit larger. By larger, I mean like it's only like maybe 14 inch. No, maybe it's like 16 inches. It's not huge, but go for the larger one. The other thing that I wish that I could have changed, Okay, so this isn't something that I wish I could change, but it's a tip that I would give, is to always make sure that you give yourself an extra 10 minutes of time to get to and from somewhere. If you're taking the metro or any kind of public transit or a car, if you're not walking somewhere, give yourself 10 extra minutes, because the trains can get delayed. They can just skip your station entirely. It's the same concept of when you're driving somewhere, you do want to give yourself a little bit of extra time for traffic. So the same thing is when it comes to taking any public transit. Let's say that your metro card runs out. The metro card is what you use to swipe in and out of the metro station. And so when it runs out of money on it, you have to refill it, and it's always at like the most inconvenient times. But if you give yourself 10 extra minutes of time, it'll give you some extra cushion. And the third thing that I would change about New York City is I'm trying to think from my New York video, I guess like the whole landlord situation. I mean, most landlords are like just in general, but New York landlords are another breed of wild. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad, but my number one tip would be to keep a Google Doc of all like text messages, anything honestly that your landlord sends you, that like either, for instance, my landlord was super weird. He would like, once he like sung to us, like it was very like sung, like in our apartment, it was a very strange situation. I could go on, but I'm not going to, because I don't know, I have integrity. I don't know, I always feel like kind of bad dragging. I could give little bits and pieces, but I will never publicly share the full story. But he was really weird though. Let's just leave it at that. And he sung for us. So it like sung, like performed like a song for us. Anyways, so I don't want to go any further. It's not like I'm dragging him, but he did say a few things where it was basically like, I won't raise your rent. And then and it was in one email, and then the lease, renewal happened. And he's like, I'm only going to raise it by like $500, something like that. And I was like, but bro, you said like you wouldn't. So things like that are just kind of convenient to have compiled into a Google Doc. You just never know. So let's move into the next question. Outside of photography, what are you passionate about? I am really passionate about youth ministry. If I wasn't a photographer, I definitely would be pursuing youth ministry. I would have gone to I would go to a theology school, obviously, to get my degree, because like I can't just be like the dining room table degree of reading my devotionals every day kind of vibe. Like I need to go and get proper schooling for that. But I would say youth ministry. And I'm also passionate about anything when it comes to like helping my friends build up their businesses and like strategize for them and with them. And then once they take that information and run with it, and helping them scale. And then I'm also really passionate about my nonprofit, Build and Bloom, Build and Bloom in general, but the Sister program, it's not right now happening, a monthly networking group for young women interested in media art, like if any kind of media art. It's just like a group where we would teach. It happened at one point, it was in like 14 cities at once. It's a lot, but we would teach basic job skills. Once we had an amazing woman, her Instagram is Dumpster Doggy. Amanda Holden came in and spoke to the girls about the basics of like credit card debt and student loans and retirement funds and like things that were not taught in high school, but they're really important and empowering. So anything having to do with like, I think it's just mostly always comes back to like youth ministry at the core. So let's see. I am going to do, how is being a new dog mom? Is it harder or easier than expected? So I don't mean to say this in a condescending way to the person who commented, because I really appreciate the comment, but I will never refer to myself as a dog mom. It makes me cringe. So I do not want to sound like, oh, I'm going to drag you, we're going to roast you together and laugh. No, 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 no. But I do want to make it clear, like, I can never refer to myself as a dog mom. Like, I don't know. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. I just say he's my dog. Okay, so how is it being, though, having a dog? Is it harder or easier? Well, I grew up with a pit bull mix named Daisy. She was so amazing, but super high energy. She would go on like 2 walks a day. So amazing, but like a lot. And I knew going into it how much it was going to be to take care of a dog. And it turned out to be so much easier than expected, because I ended up adopting a Shih Tzu, which is a much smaller dog and a different kind of just like overall mannerism than a pit bull. Daisy was super energetic and very, very, just like very energetic, but not in a bad way. Like super bubbly, would wiggle around. Like I'm obsessed with her. And Bumblebee is just a whole opposite. Like, he still is very snuggly and, you know, loves to be loved and stuff. But he is very calm, very chill. He will just, like, sit in your arms for a walk because he can't walk that far because he's so little. But whereas Daisy, if she was small enough to be in my arms, she would, like, immediately just want down. And, you know, so very different. And I would say it's easier than I guess I expect. I kind of knew what I was getting myself into, so I guess it wasn't easier or harder. But that being said, if you've never adopted or if you've never had a dog at all before, you are going to need to do your research. But I was telling like some of my friends in New York, and they're like, oh, you don't want a dog, that's going to be so much work. And I was like, what? Like, don't listen to your friends about it unless they have dogs, you guys. And honestly, it's such a personal decision that you, like, I knew having a dog would enrich my life. It would help with my depression, and it did. So, like, your friends or other people in your life who are like, no, it's so much work, you really can't, you can't take their advice so far. You can consider it, but at the end of the day, only you know exactly if you can take care of this animal properly. But you do need to do your research, and you do need to seek out proper advice. But I think when it comes to just like friends, like our peers, our age, being like, no, it's too much work, I don't really think so. Like, he's a responsibility, of course, but he's enriched my life. So I'm glad I didn't listen to anybody. Not everyone in New York, but just like a few friends were like, what? That's crazy. But I'm so, so happy that I adopted him. But yes, now I feel bad for being like, ew, I don't want to ever say dog mom, but I do want to make it so clear. And also, I know the woman who asked me this question, so I think she personally will think it's funny. But yeah, I just like cringe like at that. I don't know, you guys, I can't. Okay. Sorry. Okay, you guys, this is the end of the Monday Motivation Podcast. I know that this one was really like, maybe it's the time that I'm recording, it's a little bit later in the evening, and I'm just like, let's just be real about Instagram Reels. Let's just like make it clear no one thinks we're a dog mom. Like, I don't know what's happened on this show, but I do hope that you feel encouraged. I hope that you feel inspired. And I hope, though, more than anything, you feel like you have the tools to take this amazing free resource of Instagram Reels and turn it into something you're going to do this week. I would love to see you make 4 Instagram Reels and upload them. And if you upload them, please share them with me in DM or post them on your story and tag me. Like, I really want to see what you created, because that's what's so encouraging. And if you didn't listen to the last episode, last week's episode, be sure to listen to it, because I'm talking about Instagram TV. And these are 2 features on Instagram that are not pay to play. So definitely take advantage of it, change your perspective, and roll with it. Because all the other people complaining about it, it's the same thing with Instagram TV. All these other people complaining about it, they're not going to use it. But when you use it, you're standing out from your competition. So I believe in you. I believe in your business. Be sure to go to jessicawhitaker.co/workshop for more information on my online photography workshop. From A to Z, you will learn in 6.5 hours how to start and scale your photography business. I'll catch you in the next podcast episode. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whitaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhitaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.